Hi, I'm one of the High Priests of Khonshu Rey, and I have the sacred privilege of providing you, the Loony Listener, with a podcast honouring Marvel's very own Moon Knight. So join me and a host of others at Into the Night, a Moon Knight podcast. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or support the show by becoming a Patreon member. Into the Night, a Moon Knight podcast. It's time to get your Khonshu on.
Hello, I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And welcome to the first episode of 2021, as DCAU Podcast covers Green Lantern Emerald Knight.
Yes,
so this... it was actually, as I was looking into it yesterday, I realised that this actually is... This is the... By the time we actually... this actually goes out, which is about roughly about 4 weeks' time, it will be 2021.
So, yeah, it was crazy, right?
Hopefully it'll go by faster than this year.
This year just seems to have gone in bumps and starts. Like, some bits, like, super fast and other bits super slow. Mm-hmm. It's like, I can't believe it's, like, the end of the year. But, yeah, there were bits that really dragged.
Speaking of, kind of, movies that kind of have a very different pace and jump around, I don't know that it works as a single movie.
No, I don't think it does. I mean, I think it's quite jarring how different some of them are. Well, I mean, it's not in a bad way, but yeah. It's just, I mean, like, the whole joining shtick is a little bit obvious.
Yeah. So it is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So it's basically 6 stories, 5 kind of mini stories, and then a kind of overarching narrative. Cast list is quite awesome. You've got Nathan Fillion as Hal Jordan, Elizabeth Moss as Arissa Raab, which I think is the first thing I've heard of Elizabeth Moss being in. Obviously, she was in the Invisible Man this year at the time of recording.
Yeah, Mad Men is what she's famous for.
Right, okay, I didn't watch Mad Men.
She's, like, pretty much the lead female character. Right. But she's done a lot of other things, like The Top of the Lake. I'm trying to think what else. Anyway, she's been in quite a lot.
She's
Handmaid's Tale. She's the lead in Handmaid's Tale.
Of course, yeah. We also get to say hello to Jason Isaacs as Sinestro.
Yay. Of course, my favourite character.
Actually not a villain in this version.
No, I really like that, actually. Like,
which was nice. Relevant. Also showing up, Kelly Hu, Roddy Piper, the wrestler.
She's crazy.
Arnold Vosloo for the third film in a row.
Yay.
Third role movie. As well.
Yeah. He can do it. He can handle that.
Henry Rollins shows up.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yep. Did I say Kelly Hu?
Yeah.
Yeah, I said Kelly Hu. And a load of other names that we've probably seen before. Greg Lazelle shows up. Andrea Romano actually has a voice role as well, as I believe she cast the voice cast in this as well.
Oh, that's funny.
She was the voice of both Rings That Talk. Mm-hmm. And Bruce Timm shows up as well. As a voice. Also, this film has 3 directors. Lauren Montgomery, who we've seen direct a few films before, Jay Olivia, who's directed a couple, and Christopher Berkeley, who doesn't have a Wikipedia page.
Oh, really?
No, it doesn't appear to.
Crazy.
Or at least he doesn't have a link to it on the Green Lantern's page.
Mm.
2 of these stories are actually... So the writing list is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's 8 writers listed.
But there's actually 9 writers.
Yes, because 2 of the stories are Alan Moore stories.
In case you don't know, Alan Moore doesn't allow them to put his name on anything.
It was after League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. He was just like, nope, not having my name on anything. No matter how good it is or bad it is, even if I wrote it, nope. My name's not on it.
Yeah, but they did him extremely dirty, and there's reasons why he wouldn't want to be associated, and that's why you don't see him on any of the Watchmen things. But he also doesn't take money from it and gives the money to the artists instead. Like, he doesn't mind his collaborators getting money from it. But yeah, they treated him really, really badly, DC, and they continue to. So
I get the impression, but well. DC are not exactly a company known for ethical business practices. Like, and they're owned by Warner Brothers, who are also not particularly
AT&T, who are also, and like, the very few corporations are known for ethical practices. So
anyway, to get back to the actual film, the film opens with someone being destroyed by antimatter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's horrific.
Yeah, it is pretty horrific.
We then cut to Oa with our main character. Well, the character who's kind of being told all these stories, Arisa Rab, and she's a bit lost in Oa.
Yes.
She has literally just joined the Lanterns. It's maybe a couple of days. And to the point where she hasn't even had any proper training yet.
Yeah, she's a proper little newbie.
Uh-huh. And by the sound of it, Hal Jordan's been assigned to kind of mentor her.
I think he's assigned to mentor any humanoid female characters, because he's Hal Jordan.
Okay. Neil, the character, really gets a lot to do.
Yeah.
Same with Sinestro, actually. The three of them kind of just exist to kind of carry the stories.
Yeah.
So it turns out that the antimatter is being fired out of Oa's sun by a character named Krona, who I believe is like an established villain.
I'm not massively knowledgeable on Green Lantern. I'm a little bit, because I've actually read some Green Lantern comics, but I tend to read Kyle if I can.
Yeah.
The best Green Lantern.
The only thing about Krona is I'm sure that was Krona's a character in the Ryan Reynolds movie. Like, he's like the person who's first possessed by Parallax or something. Something like that. So I'm sure I've heard the name before, but I didn't really know anything much about him. But the way they're making it, he is the creator of antimatter.
Yes, which is, hey, good.
Okay. And he was dispersed, but he's now reformed, and he's apparently making a portal out of Oa's sun. And Oa has been completely evacuated, including all the valuable stuff. So Oa is occupied, and there's nothing living on it. That's key to mention.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Like, we're not doing a Superman Kills the World.
Yeah. I just realised the Superman that is closest to Jesus, we're releasing that episode on Christmas Day.
Okay, cool.
Not deliberately, that wasn't a choice, it was just kind of the way it's landed. So the last thing that is done before Oa is completely evacuated is the Lanterns are going to the battery to get charged.
Yes, they're all lined up
in a queue. And we get our first story, which is the story of the first four Green Lanterns, in particular.
Which is quite cool. I like this.
In particular, a scribe named Avra.
Yes, number four in the...
Yes. So, it's the kind of start of the story is, there was a universe, and it was a bit chaotic, and the Guardians didn't like that, so they decided to make a police force.
Which is fair.
Uh-huh. And
it's not fair, but it's the kind of thing that, I mean, you've got to establish the universe police force set up, so.
And they make rings imbued with the power of light, and though it's not the strongest one, they decided green, the power of and the colour of will.
Yeah.
Because, well, there is more powerful, but... we're not going to explain which one's more powerful, but you can take a guess.
Almost all of them.
And the greatest warriors in the universe, who apparently aren't all warlords in this chaotic realm.
It's a long time ago, so yeah, before all of that.
But the greatest warriors are assembled, and four of them were chosen to have these rings, but... the fourth one didn't go to a warrior, it went to the scribe at the events, Avra.
Yes. So this is where you find out that, like, the rings kind of choose their next owner.
Yes.
Which I quite like.
Absolutely. So the lanterns are sent to break up to attack an invading army so that they stop attacking.
Mm-hmm.
And at first they're using the rings basically as shields and laser weapons.
Yes, but because we've got a scribe, they do something cool and make the first, what do they call them?
Construct.
Constructs, that's it. Sorry, a bit sleepy.
So, before that, one of the other lanterns gets killed.
You know.
So it's effectively what happens is the two remaining lanterns, before he does the first construct, are like, no, we're outnumbered, we're outmatched, we've got to run. And then Avra decides, no, I'm going to create a giant light sword and I'm going to kill everyone. And we then find out that from this point onwards, that was how Green Lanterns were trained, is to produce constructs. And this ring was passed on, eventually ending up with Abin Sur and finally Hal Jordan.
Hooray.
Because of course Hal Jordan has to have the first great Green Lanterns ring.
I mean, it kind of makes sense given like his importance to the whole pantheon eventually.
Right.
But okay. I don't mind because he is quite a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just because he's from Earth. I mean, obviously, in sense of the comics, it is. But at least they give him big stuff to do, like with Parallax and that, so.
So, that's the first story. The second story we'll almost jump into straight away. The first two stories are, we bump into this person, they seem really unique, so we get their backstory. And then the other two is just like, oh, and whilst we're talking, let's mention this person for no real reason.
Yeah, right.
So, the first story is Kilowog.
Yes.
And
I mean, it kind of makes sense that it goes to Kilowog, because in there, when they're just queuing up to charge the ring, he starts being all mouthy. Hmm. And Hal's like, oh, don't worry, don't be scared of Kilowog. So then you get, and then it moves into the story of Kilowog being a newbie.
So essentially, the idea is, oh, everyone thinks that Kilowog is really harsh and difficult, but
we're going to show you that he's not.
He's not actually. I mean, who would have thought it? A space cop being really authoritarian and reckless. But we meet the previous drill sergeant, whose name is Deegan.
Yeah, I don't remember the names. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm terrible with names if it's not, like, the ones I already know.
So we establish about three things very early on. One, Deedon is extremely harsh and immediately takes their rings off them.
Yes.
Because he wants them to prove how worthy they are without the rings.
Yeah, because he wants them to, like, you know, not man up, because that would be a bad thing to say.
Yes. I don't know, it was 2011, it might have been okay at the time.
Yeah, but he wouldn't say man anyway, because he's alien.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, he just wants them to, like, you know, stand on their own two feet.
It's not like the rings have pre-chosen them because they've shown a degree of aptitude or anything. Other thing that's clear is, in this version of the story, it appears that the suit isn't actually... Well, it's weird, the suit seems to be generated by the ring, but still there when you take the ring off.
Yeah.
Which, okay, fine. It seems to be a kind of... That seems to be a thing with the suits, that it basically, it just depends on what suits the writers.
Yeah.
So...
I mean, like, to be fair, there's a lot of that in comics, films.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So, we get Deegan basically dropping the four trainees into extremely dangerous situations.
yeah, pretty much.
And Kilowog is basically carrying and leading the team.
Yeah, which is great. I love Kilowog. Who doesn't love Kilowog?
I don't know. Poozers, probably.
Yeah.
So... Kilowog tries to confront Deegan and go, "Stop putting us in extremely dangerous situations and letting us nearly die."
Yeah, please.
And then just Killawog stop. Gets his behind handed to him.
Which is fun to see, because we are always used to seeing Killawog as the tropey, you know, sergeant who's training the troops.
I mean, he's voiced by Henry Rollins.
Which is perfect. It's absolutely perfect casting.
The training is interrupted because there is a Kund-ish invasion.
Yeah, you have to say that carefully.
Yes. Yes, so the Kunds...
I'm not ever going to say it, because you know I won't.
The alien race that is hostile in this one and not hostile in the next one.
Yes, which is the important thing.
Yeah.
It's spelled K-H-U-N-D for yes. anyone. Like, which is why I... The problem is that I just... Because the film is like American accent.
Yeah.
I don't always mentally convert it to how I would say it. So I didn't notice that it was...
Yeah.
Funny.
It's the same thing when you get what was it? There was something else that I noticed that was something like that. I'm sure it'll come up later, but so Killawog is behind the rest of the party because the Deegan does the old, instead of handing him the ring, he drops it in front of him. However. What happens is he decides to take on the army on his own, because again, reckless, get the trainees to help the running civilians, and he flies into a gun and blows it up.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It is, it's an awesome scene. And then Killawog comes in and finishes the job. And prevents Deegan from being tortured before he dies.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, it's pretty grim.
And Deegan gives Killawog the Green Lantern symbol with his own blood.
Yeah. It's grim, but it's very Killawog. It works.
Yeah. And suddenly Killawog goes full Killawog.
Yes. It's like the birth of Killawog here.
I've remembered what it is. I found it strange that in 2020 we're watching a film where a villain's called Crona.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Tangled as well.
Yeah.
Like that's the name of the kingdom or something. And it's like it's unfortunate because, of course, the reason it's called the coronavirus is because it looks like a crown.
Yeah.
So we have so many words that play on crown.
Yeah,
it's obviously going to keep coming up and up, you know, again like that. So, you know, what can you do? But yes, you're right.
Yeah. Hi, guys. We hope you're enjoying the show you're listening to now. We have a show that we think you might like. I'm Alan.
I'm the Grizz.
And we present a show called Rise of the Robots,
where we cover such robot combat shows as
Robot Wars,
BattleBots,
King of Bots,
and BuggleBots.
Where we recap these shows and review them and document the rise of the robots.
You can find us on your podcast app of choice or at audioboom.com. Just search for Rise of the Robots.
We then have, so after we get Killog's backstory, Hal and Arissa go to a border patrol of the sun. Basically, we're waiting for Crona to emerge at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And they happen to be interrupted by Lyra, who is voiced by Kelly Hu.
Yes. I like her.
Yep. And we get her backstory, which is that her first mission was to be sent back to her homeland because they had been... And they're going to take a while to actually spit this bit out. This is a planet that's been to war with the race of warriors that were in the Killawog.
You can say it. You can say it. I won't laugh again.
The Kund.
Yeah, you're fine. No, you're fine.
But And I'm not quite sure of how... So, this is an army that has clearly invaded Lyra's home planet.
Mm-hmm.
But the planet that was being invaded is now being treated as they're the hostile ones, because they're the ones that are attacking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like, it's nice, because it's kind of, it's not that it's unsettling, but you get a sense that, like, different, like, that the good guys aren't always the good guys, the bad guys aren't always the bad guys. There's this sense of, like, of magnitude and time passing and different people being different villains to different people. So I kind of like that.
So when Lyra first arrives, she is attacked by her father's mistress.
Mm. She was a princess, by the way.
Oh, she's... Yeah, Lyra's a princess.
Yeah, we like princesses. Just...
Though I take it the idea is sort of when you become a Green Lantern, you have to renounce all...
I imagine so, yeah. I mean, or certainly that her family, like, didn't want anything to do with her once she went off to be... Once she was chosen to be a Green Lantern.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to mention, Tomar Ree was part of the same training group as Kilowog.
Of course.
So, anyway, getting back to the story. So, after defeating her... Not stepmom, because they hadn't... I don't know.
I mean, it's good enough.
Yeah. So, she then gets into a fight with her brother, who is able to roll natural 20s on all his sneak attacks. Free guesses who's DMing tonight. So... However, Lyra is again able to defeat him. And she eventually goes and confronts her father, who...
Which is great.
Yeah. So at first she seems to be going and going, oh no, it'll be the mistress and the son. They're the ones that are doing this. It's nothing to do with my dad. My dad's a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
No.
No.
And we get... Essentially what happened was he felt dishonored because Lyra got the ring and he didn't when the Green Lantern came to chase off the invaders.
Yeah, he's not happy that she did well, basically.
Yeah. Or that she was found to be more worthy than him, I think is the...
Yeah.
The implication.
Well, of course, that's the traditional, how dare she? How dare she be better than her dad at something?
And... So we get, I think, the best fight in the film.
Yeah, it is a very good fight.
It's a really phenomenal fight. It goes back and forth. I think it's very noticeable that out of all the various lanterns, Lyra is the one that seems to most often form like weapons that she's actually been trained with as a fighter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And eventually her father's able to take the ring off her, but the ring rejects him, basically.
Yeah, which is funny.
And he eventually decides, after being defeated, to commit ritual suicide, because that's more on... That returns his honour, apparently.
Of course it does, yeah.
Which...
There's no great loss, though. Bye.
I think Lyra's upset by it.
Yeah, but of course she is, because, you know.
Yeah.
It's her dad, but I don't have to be sorry about that. He should be happy for his daughter.
Yep. And so that's the end of Lyra's tale. I'm sure there's a joke I can get in here about his dark materials.
Probably.
Yes. But we're just about to get into the Alan Moore section.
Woohoo!
So...
The good stuff.
They mention, yes, now all the Green Lanterns are here apart from Mogo. And that's not surprising, because Mogo doesn't socialise.
Yeah, he'd be like me.
I think he's a bit bigger.
Just... We don't know that going into it, though. We just hear he's antisocial.
So, we get... And this is... I believe this is almost a direct adaptation of an Alan Moore story.
Yeah, I think it is.
So, a warrior known as Bolfunga the Unrelenting. is a warrior who travels round the galaxy picking fights with people to prove he's the greatest warrior.
Yes, you do.
And after defeating the last man who would accept his challenge, and going, and this proves that I am the greatest warrior, the lava man goes, nah. Mogo, mate.
Pretty much.
Mogo's better than you. And even better, he's a Green Lantern.
Yeah. We like our Green Lanterns.
So, Bolfunga gets offended by this assertion.
Yeah, no one likes hearing someone else is better than them, as we discovered in the previous one.
Yep. So, he is not able to find any records of Mogo. Because he's a Green Lantern and Green Lanterns get diplomatic immunity.
Hooray.
Which...
Because they're space cops.
Yes. Oh, space cops that don't get prosecuted or background checked.
I know, right?
I wonder. So, he heads for a green planet called... that is so far unnamed.
Yeah. Curious.
Bolfunga spends months looking for Mogo. He keeps on getting Green Lantern energy spikes going off around the planet, but he can never catch him.
Da, da, da.
So he decides, after having a tantrum, okay, I'm just going to bomb around the entire planet and that'll draw him out.
Yes. That's what he thinks.
So, he does that, and he bombs the whole planet.
Because that's normal behaviour.
Yeah. I mean, he's a man who spends months on a planet because he wants to fight someone.
Yeah, pretty much.
And Mogo still doesn't show up.
Yeah.
Because it turns out Mogo doesn't live on the planet.
Da, da, da. Mogo is the planet.
Yes!
Hooray!
And as Bolfunga the Unrelenting relents for the first time in his life, Mogo blasts him away anyway.
Yeah, because he's been a pain. He deserves it, honestly.
So, after that story, we need to actually have some jeopardy for our main characters. So Hal Jordan and Orisa get attacked by antimatter beings.
Well, it's important because they now need to tie it up. So we need something to attack.
Yep. So Sinestro, Kilowog and Lyra are able to save Hal and Orisa. Hal's able to fight off the antimatter beings. And Orisa is knocked out and wakens up alone with Sinestro.
It sounds like a comic. Yes. With Sinestro.
But this is a good version of Sinestro.
I didn't mean in a creepy way, yeah. But it could be an interesting thing.
It's the only time I can think of where Sinestro is completely played straight as a good guy.
Yeah, I've seen it in flashbacks before, but not for a whole story.
Yeah.
So.
And, I mean, he's voiced by Jason Isaacs as well, which...
Which, yeah.
Yeah. So, for some reason, we end up talking about Destiny. Because, reasons. And someone who had particular views on Destiny was Abin Sur.
Yes.
So, we... open to Abin Sur being immediately attacked by Atrocitus.
Yes.
Who, the only context I've ever heard of Atrocitus before is as a Red Lantern.
Yeah, I've not heard of him before. So the only Red Lantern I recognise is Dexter.
Well, the only reason I recognise him as a Red Lantern is Atrocitus is a Red Lantern in the Injustice the second game.
Right.
And he has Dexter with him.
Right, okay. Well, then I wouldn't have paid attention to his name and I would have just looked at Dexter, because that was also one of Ozzy's almost names.
I think I've read the Dexter comic origin.
Oh, it's so sad. It's so sad.
It is. It's horrible.
It's, like, absolutely horrible. Like, no one should read it except to know that Dexter's the best of the Red Lantern.
Yes. So, in this version of the story, Atrocitus is just a evil alien criminal murderer who claims to be able to speak to Destiny.
Oh, look, Ozzy just came to say hi. Hi.
So Atrocitus is actually on the realm of beating Abin Sur, because Abin Sur's lantern ring doesn't have much charge in it, and Atrocitus has stolen his battery.
Yes.
Sinestro comes to the rescue. Because Sinestro is always heroic and a good guy.
Yeah, always.
So, Atrocitus decides that the best way to defeat these two lanterns is to blow the battery up. So he does that by bashing it on the wall.
Yeah.
Abin Sur carries the lantern off the planet, so it explodes onto him. And it gives up. And it, instead of killing him, it makes Abin Sur supercharged.
Yeah, which is great.
So that he's able to knock out Atrocitus.
Yeah.
So we then get a talk about Destiny between Abin Sur and Sinestro. The idea being that Abin Sur talks about the fact that Destiny exists, and Sinestro claims that it's all hogwash.
Mm-hmm.
I always used a different term there. So, Abin Sur then takes Atrocitus to prison. And whilst that's happening, Atrocitus goes, hey, do you want to find out how you die?
Yeah, which is great.
So, what he says is, well, you'll die soon. Thankfully, you won't live to see Sinestro turn evil, become a yellow lantern, and kill all the Green Lanterns, including Hal Jordan, aka the greatest Green Lantern. I think they actually say that explicitly.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, well. So Abin Sur goes, nope, you're lying. Never mind. And that's the end of the Abin Sur story.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to wrap up the film. So Krona starts to break out of the sun.
Yeah.
And the Green Lanterns then engage in a battle with the antimatter beings.
Which is pretty cool as well.
To see
them actually do something after just being like, not lumps, but just kind of standing in a queue to charge their lanterns for so long.
So we see this fight. Unfortunately, Krona is far too powerful and the lanterns have to retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's whilst they're retreating that Arissa says, why don't we just hit them with the planet?
Yeah. Like, because we've taken everyone off it, remember?
Yeah, it's unoccupied. And, like, throwing a planet at something will have no ill consequences.
Yeah. None at all. And we'll save a lot of people.
Yes. By throwing him into the sun.
Yeah.
Because, again, throwing a giant being into the sun, using a planet, that's not gonna have any ill consequences for anyone at all.
Well, you know, doesn't really matter if it does at this point, because they're gonna wrap up the film regardless without letting us know about negative consequences.
And what do you know? It works. And it works because the actual hero of the film is Mogo.
Yay!
Because Mogo shows up and goes, I'll carry it, it's fine. So, Mogo pushes the planet, with the help of the old lanterns, but it's mainly Mogo, into Krona, forcing him in into the sun, somehow disintegrating part of Krona on the way, I don't know. And the Guardians decide to live on Mogo until Oa's rebuilt.
Yeah.
But what's wrong with Mogo? Just live on Mogo. He's a living planet.
Well, maybe he doesn't want to have them all on him. They're annoying. They're always in trouble. People are attacking them.
I mean, to be fair, they're the sort of people that would make space cops.
Right, but they are also always being attacked.
So,
like, if I was a planet, I might be like, no thanks.
So that's Green Lantern Emerald Knights,
mm-hmm.
which
it wasn't bad. I mean, it's nice to have different characters.
I think every single story in of themselves is pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know that the main plot kind of carries
it's
that
kind
well.
Of it's kind of pointless, but I do kind of like it.
I mean, it's the kind of two key things that come out of this movie are, this is the first time Nathan Fillion plays, well, firstly, one, a likable character, and two, Hal Jordan. And also, there was something else. Oh, the other thing that was interesting about this is, whilst it's not a direct sequel to First Flight, for obvious reasons, it does use the same character designs, and they actually have a specific cameo by Chip.
Yay! We love. We only like the animal ones, really.
Yep. And, yep. Also, the various alien races from this movie and this version of them then shows up in Young Justice as well. In a episode called War in the second season.
Wow.
So, but other than that, I mean, I think this is a completely standalone film.
You don't think you need to watch anything else to.
Yep. And, yep, that's Green Lantern's Emerald Knight, and that means that we've only got one film left from 2011.
Which one?
Which is the one that we're doing next time, which is Batman Year One. Which is...
It sounds like one I'll have issues with.
It's the first Frank Miller story that we're covering.
Yeah. What a surprise.
I seem to
remember it's actually pretty good.
Yeah, it's from when Frank Miller still had some degree of sanity. So... That's the next film we've got coming up. It's also the first time we've had Batman in one of these films for over a month now.
It is actually. We haven't had Batman for a long time, so fair enough.
Yeah. He is an important part of the next movie we're doing after that, which is Justice League Doom.
Oh yeah.
Which is a sequel to Crisis on Two Earths. Oh, we're actually not too far. There's a couple of movies before that, but there's also the two Dark Knight Returns movies coming up soon. So we'll get all the Frank Miller kind of done in one big lump.
Oh, good. I make sure I'm in the right mood.
Yes. On the plus side, it does mean that you don't have any more Frank Miller after those three films.
Yeah, that's true.
So that is... What's coming up in the future? Well, I don't know if I'll have the advert on this time. You can hear me on our podcasts, such as the Rise of the Robots podcast. We are still covering Robot Wars Series 4. Probably will be until February or March of next year. Of this year, rather, since we're recording in 2020, but it's coming out in 2021. and have you been in any recent
episode? Yeah, I was on one called Comics Deserve Better.
Okay.
So if you search for them, you'll find them. It's an indie comics one, so
right.
no Marvel and DC. And that was a nice surprise. And then we just recorded a new Iron Fist one yesterday, which was when Deadpool crossed over with Power Man and Iron Fist. So they're both pretty good. Both pretty good podcasts.
Awesome. Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We're at DCAU Podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU Podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.